For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Joining me on the latest Mordcast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Former Nuggets owner Red McCombs passed away a couple days ago as of this recording. And since the Denver Nuggets have seen fit to not publicly mention this, as someone who, as you will find out in this podcast, literally saved the Nuggets from being contracted, I would like to publicly acknowledge the death of Red McCombs and give people an idea of just how significant he was in Denver Nuggets history. There is no real figure in the early part of Denver Nuggets NBA history. Well, there's two, actually. There's Carl Shearer, and then there is Red McCombs. And let's kind of go over this. And I'm going to talk about the early Nuggets and NBA Nuggets. So the Nuggets that came in as of 1976, and then how that set up what happened when Red McCombs came in and basically saved the team from being contracted. The Nuggets came into the league in 1976. They were one of the four teams that came in. There was a bit of a caveat. There was a couple caveats that happened in order to let the four ABA teams in. And let me be 100% blunt here. There was eight or nine ABA teams that, even going back to maybe even 10 a couple years before, that were all eligible to be merged with the NBA forces, including Oscar Robertson's lawsuit against the antitrust lawsuit against the NBA, delayed the merger. The Nuggets always had ownership in issues, going all the way back to the guy who brought the team. Well, technically moved the team, even though they weren't existing yet. Went from Kansas City to Denver as the Larks back in 1967, right before the ABA was formed. The dawn of the ABA was 1967, and the Nuggets already always had ownership issues, going back from Bill Ringsby, who was technically their first actual owner, through the he named them Denver Rockets, to about 1974. In 1974, Carl Shearer came to Denver. And one of the conditions that Carl Scheer had to come over was he had to own the Denver Nuggets with what amounted to be a consortium of friends. And the Nuggets went through a transition period through the beginning of their ABA time, or excuse me, to the end of their ABA time, to the beginning of the NBA time. So there was a period of like 2 years where there was kind of this, kind of like the Nuggets in the late 90s, where there was this weird kind of nebulous ownership situation. But Carl Scheer was steering the ship. Everything about Denver went through Carl Scheer from 1974 to 1982. And Scheer brought Larry Brown with him, Doug Moe with him, and basically the North Carolina Buddies. These were all people who were remnants of the Carolina Cougars, and they made their way to Denver, and the first golden era of Denver Nuggets basketball, and arguably their most talented and successful team, began with Carl Scheer coming over. Well, as I said before, contingent on that was not necessarily contingent, but Scheer saw an opportunity and really a need to save the Nuggets, who I forget who owned them before. I think Ringsby had left before that, I believe. Ringsby always had issues. He owned a trucking company out here, and anyone tells you with trucking companies, Jerry McMorris had the first principal owner of the Rockies had a trucking business. And when that goes south, it goes south big time. So Ringsby ran into money issues. Scheer comes in, gets all of his, basically what was described to me at the time was all of his buddies. And there was a ton of owners, different owners of this Denver Nuggets team, who ended up buying the Denver Nuggets and laying the groundwork for the merger with the NBA. Now, the conditions for the merger with the NBA were onerous. They were essentially penalizing ABA teams for coming in. Now, the Nuggets succeeded despite that because they won 50 games their first year. And they already had McNichols Arena. And people who don't remember this, but from about 1974 to, well, maybe 75, excuse me, when McNichols came in, to about 79, the Denver Nuggets led basketball in attendance, non-college basketball in attendance. They were always selling out, and the McNichols at that time was one of the larger arenas in basketball. The Denver Nuggets fever, basically, as when the merger with the NBA was at an all-time high. Nuggets go to the Western Conference Finals in 1978. So the 77-78 season, and it was looking to be sky's the limit. There was a big crucial moment that happened, and it was the big pivot point for the consortium led by Carl Scheer that owned the Denver Nuggets. David Thompson was eligible to be signed elsewhere, and it was well known that the Knicks and a couple other East Coast teams were really, really planning on making a heavy push for David Thompson. Thompson wasn't necessarily wired that way. He just kind of liked playing basketball. He was from North Carolina and went to North Carolina State and just basically saw basketball as something that he did. And in the offseason of 1978, the consortium signed David Thompson to what was the largest contract in professional sports. And it, I think it was for a total of $5 million, if I remember correctly. But it was at the time, and this is the late 70s, it was at the time an enormous contract. And the Nuggets couldn't really afford that. In fact, due to some conditions, as I pointed out, that were agreed to as entry into the NBA, the Nuggets were penalized by having to give a percentage of their profits, TV money profits, which wasn't as big back then. The NBA was still going through some drug issues at that time. And as later would be evidenced by David Thompson's descent into drug abuse, it was a bad time for the league. And the ABA teams were penalized most. The Nuggets, as badly as they were financially hit by having to give a percentage of their TV money to the Silvas, who owned the Spurs of St. Louis, who somehow negotiated this unbelievable deal where they got in perpetuity a percentage of the NBA rights, and they ended up getting millions upon millions upon millions of dollars from this deal, all the way up to about, I think, 2014, I think, was in the NBA finally, and the four ABA teams were released from this onerous thing. But it really affected the four ABA teams. It cut into profits and made a lot of the teams financially unviable. That includes the San Antonio Spurs, which Red McCombs owned at that time. It was a very hard way to try to make a viable business. And some of this had to do with a high resistance from the NBA, within the NBA, elements within the NBA due to teams and some in the league office, and we will get to that, were highly resistant on the merger and specifically did not want some of the smaller market teams to come in. They didn't mind the Nets. The people that minded the New York Nets coming in from the ABA was the New York Knicks, and they negotiated a deal that was horrendous and basically caused and made the Nets move out of New York in order to be able to get into the NBA, which was an unbelievable. And it caused them to lose Julius Erving to the Philadelphia 76ers upon that merger. And they didn't recover financially for ages. But the Denver Nuggets were part of this deal, along with the Indiana Pacers and the San Antonio Spurs. And the financial conditions were so bad that it affected the consortium that owned the Denver Nuggets. They could never get on any good financial footing, even though they were leading the league in attendance. And once attendance started dipping, this consortium started losing more and more money. And this created enormous problems. And it was likely... it wasn't because of the contract that David Thompson signed, but the contract became an anchor they couldn't get out of, because by the time the 80s dawned, Thompson was so far into cocaine abuse that his play had deteriorated to an enormous extent. And Carl Scheer did what he could in trying to negotiate around that, which was a well-known cocaine issue by this point. Scheer traded George McGinnis, which was an acknowledgement that he had made a mistake trading Bobby Jones to the 76ers in exchange for McGinnis. Within a year and a half, McGinnis was traded back to his original team, the Indiana Pacers, for Alex English. Alex English would be the standard bearer that would carry the Nuggets through the 80s. And that was in 1979. But the dipping attendance, which had to do with largely due to the drug issues in the NBA, and its ongoing financial struggles to pull itself. Larry O'Brien was the commissioner of the NBA at this time. And it created a situation where the Nuggets were always behind the eight ball, and they really probably... At the time, probably the consortium was a good idea to rescue from the previously cash-strapped ownerships. They negotiated, specifically Carl Scheer, negotiated the entrance in the NBA, which was a minor boon, and up until 78, things were going great. But as of 1978, things started getting bad. And the combination of factors from Thompson's contract to the drug problems in the NBA and the Kermit Washington, Rudy Tomjanovich punch, and all of this stuff started financially affecting the NBA in general. And by the time you get to 1980-81, the league was in a bad place, and the Nuggets were even in an even worse place. The consortium was cratering money. Several had dropped out. The Carl Scheer was was desperately looking around for help, financial help. No one knew if the Nuggets would be able to survive. The Nuggets were, on that time, kind of going through their mid-period between the Larry Brown years and Doug Moe. Doug Moe took over for Donnie Walsh in 1980 and would guide them through the 80s, just like Alex English. By the time we get to 1981, things are so bad within the league and within the Nuggets that there were serious thoughts within the league and within certain circles here in Denver that the Nuggets would no longer exist. Their financial situation was unbelievably poor. Attendance wasn't going to be able to help them due to the factors that we already saw. And on the second half of the podcast, I'm going to tell you about how Red McCombs, former owner of the San Antonio Spurs, came in on a white horse to save the Denver Nuggets. But first, I want to talk to you about Blanchard Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee, in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They are always online at bfwcolorado.com. They got a branch in Fort Collins now that is a big hit. If you're in the north side, if you are someone who is a big fan of wines up there in northern Colorado, go check them out in Fort Collins. But the dairy block is my standby, my favorite location to go in Denver. They got reds, whites, Rieslings, blends, rosés, local Colorado wines, as well as wines that were made from grapes in Sonoma County. Basically, everything you need in a local Colorado wine bar. Try the 2019 Cabernet now, and they also have the blends. They circle in different varietals of wines. I'm a reds fan, but I've heard their whites are very good, and the Rieslings from Colorado are actually good. If there's one grape varietal that Colorado specializes in, it's Rieslings. I don't like the sweetness of it, but it is very, very good from what I'm told. So if you want to try out some of the local Colorado Rieslings from the Western Slope, go ahead and try that out. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They are always online at bfwcolorado.com. They are on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSU Podcast sent you. Red McCombs was a brash Texas businessman. I wrote about him in my article on the Bino Lee ownership, and there's some fateful decisions that were made from 1982 to 1985 that really guaranteed the Nuggets' trajectory. But from 82 to 89, they had pretty stable ownership, even though they were sold by McCombs in 85 to Sidney Schlenker, and Schlenker kept the basically for 4 years, but he attempted to sell the Nuggets for after only 2 years. But going back to 1982, Carl Scheer was basically at a crisis point with the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets were hemorrhaging money. They were in such bad financial state that the league office got wind of what was going on and won David Stern. David Stern was lead counsel of the NBA. He had actually been a big part in the negotiations of bringing the NBA merger to fruition. One of his biggest regrets was negotiating the TV deal thing with the Silvas, who owned Spirits of St. Louis, that really guaranteed that the ABA teams would always be on terrible financial footing. But one of the things about Stern that is little talked about, but Stern was not a big fan of the merger in general. This was something that was done as a necessity because the NBA in the 70s wasn't in a tremendous spot. Once the Celtics reign, and once the Knicks, who had won their title in 73, once the Knicks had ended their reign and Boston won in 75 and then again in 74 and then 76. Once that trend stopped happening, from the ABA merger on, TV ratings TV deals, drug issues, and all that stuff started taking over. And by 76, there was kind of this anticipated need for this. The ABA merger was being negotiated all the way back to the late 60s. The NBA, even though owners within the NBA were not a fan of it. Look at it this way. ABA stats are not included in NBA stats. AFL, as opposed to the NFL, where AFL stats are included, but the whole leagues merged back then. The ABA only merged four teams. And they were, at the time, the four most financially stable teams, with the addition of the Kentucky Colonels, which John Y. Brown wasn't included in that. He was the owner then of the Colonels, and then he ended up later owning the Boston Celtics in the early Larry Bird era. The teams that came in, David Stern was not a fan of. And in particular, the Mountain States. By the time the early 80s rolled around, the Jazz had moved to Utah, and they were in financial peril as well. Both Denver and Utah were seen as targets for contraction, and it was being pushed by David Stern. Keep in mind, Stern was not commissioner at this point. And if he was commissioner at this point, even I am not convinced that the Nuggets would exist. Stern had a very low view of basketball and its ability to be viable within the Mountain States. But there was a last ditch attempt. Dave Checketts was sent to the Utah Jazz to basically rescue them, kind of like what David Stern did to save his own face in 1991 when he brought in Tim Leiweke to take over as team president of the Nuggets. And basically he was installed, and people don't know this, but Tim Leiweke, that he went to, it wasn't a cent then, he went to ComSat and said, you will take Tim Leiweke and he will guide your ship. And thank God that he did, because he really started helping out the chaotic situation, which I've covered many times in the past. So he did that with Utah, but there was no such solution for Denver. Denver, because they were owned by a consortium, they needed to be on better financial footing, and there was serious push led by Stern to contract the Mountain States teams. Red McCombs had owned the Spurs up until about 1979, 80, right around there, and then he sold up his shares and wasn't really doing anything. He knew Doug Moe because Doug Moe was the coach of the Spurs in the late 70s. And, you know, with George Gervin, those teams that merged in with the NBA. The McCombs basically came in on a white horse to save the Denver Nuggets. He identified their financial peril. He had made his money. I mean, he had owned several sporting teams throughout his entire life. Sold the Minnesota Vikings. He bought the Vikings in 98 and then sold them in like 2005 because he couldn't get a stadium or something like that. But he went through a couple, you know, NFC championship reigns and stuff like that. So by the time McCombs gets to Denver, a lot of things had to be done. Carl Shearer, as brilliant as he was a terrible financial X's and O's person. And he had run the Nuggets essentially for 8 years by this point. And one of the things that McCombs did was reduce Shearer's role to just being GM. And then by the time 1984 rolls around, Shearer's no longer with the Nuggets. That's when McCombs brought in Vince Barilla, who really was the architect of the 1984-85 Denver Nuggets run to the Western Conference Finals. McCombs really loved owning the Denver Nuggets. Him coming in 82 at, it wasn't at the behest of the league. This was Carl Shearer. Once again, all credit to him. He identified someone who could come in and had the financial wherewithal to buy the Denver Nuggets. And he came in and basically turned the Nuggets into a stable franchise. And the run they went on from 82 to 85 is almost entirely due to the yeoman's work that Red McCombs did to stabilize the franchise. He got interest in the Nuggets back up. He knew what to do because he was a previous NBA owner. He wasn't buying them as a vanity project. He had owned the Spurs, had moved the Spurs to San Antonio when they were in the ABA. He basically identified, and he was this big Texan, basically, is what he was. But his wife specifically really loved owning the Denver Nuggets. Red McCombs, for years afterwards, regretted selling the Denver Nuggets in 1985. He sold them to his friend Sidney Schlenker, and basically over dinner. They were at dinner at the Brown Palace. Sidney Schlenker says, "Big Red, I want to buy your team," and then ends up selling the Denver Nuggets to Sidney Schlenker for $28 million. But in 82, there was no such plum. There was no bloom on that rose. The Denver Nuggets were a depressed and extremely in danger of no longer existing asset. It is not hyperbole to say no Red McCombs, no Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets would have been contracted. David Stern, specifically as lead counsel of the NBA at the time, was pushing to contract the Denver Nuggets. And you know, the first time I ever heard this story was years ago. Irv Brown, a venerable sports talk host and former college ref, and who broadcasted the Nuggets games for ages. RIP, by the way. Loved Irv. He told the story over and over about how Red McCombs was the best owner in Nuggets history, about the guy who came in, genuinely cared about the team, and saved the team from David Stern, basically. And it's amazing how things changed in the intervening years after McCombs owned the Denver Nuggets. And if there is a moral to a story here, and I think if any of my tales about Nuggets history will teach you anything, is that ownership matters. Ownership matters in ways that you just can't, intangible ways that you can't put your finger on beyond what's going on the court, what's going on in the field. Denver Broncos went through this for the last, when Pat Bowlen stepped down in 2013 until they were sold in 2022, there was a giant vacuum there of ownership, and you saw the results. Yes, the Broncos won a Super Bowl in 2015, but they also floundered and were basically directionless for the intervening 7 years after that. The Denver Nuggets were an example of that, and have been an example of that throughout their history. In 1989, it happened again. The Nuggets' luck with ownership has been both very fortunate and very awful. And there, you can go through the entire history of Denver ownership, from the awful, awful, awful ownership they had in their early times in the ABA, to the Carnival Barker, innovative yet not X's and O's savvy Carl Shearer era, to the wonderful Red McCombs era, the still good but not as great Sidney Schlenker era, to the awful, dreadful, ghastly Comset Peter Bino Bertram Lee ownership era, to Stan Kroenke, who's been good. And the Nuggets, they're kind of an example of what it means to have good, stable ownership And they're also an example of what not to do. And it's been their history. Their entire history is a lesson. And it's also one of the reasons I have always had kind of taken an askance view of David Stern and his motivations for doing certain things with the Denver Nuggets. It may have been financially better and league overall health-wise better for the Nuggets to have been contracted and the Utah Jazz to have been contracted in 1982 when they were both having awful financial problems. But at the same time, it took the innovation and forward thinking of Red McCombs and the steady hand to prove that basketball can be in Denver. And I think that part is the lesson that I take away from this. You know, RIP Red McCombs, 95 years old, man lived an amazing life. Man owned many sports teams and really, I mean, he was a maverick in the truest sense of the word. The guy owned the San Antonio Spurs twice. He sold the Nuggets in 85 and bought the Spurs back in 87, sold them again in 93, bought the Minnesota Vikings. The man was just like a great owner, and everywhere he went, he was absolutely beloved. He never sold teams because he wasn't good. He sold teams because he just wanted to. So this is the lesson here, and I know I'm getting lectury right now, but this is what we need to think about when we think about Red McCombs. He is really, arguably, the most important owner in Denver Nuggets history. A man who came in and saved this team from the league and turned it into a viable, now 57-year NBA franchise. It's pretty amazing. All right, thank you all for joining me in the latest Morecast. I'll be back soon with another episode. Goodbye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.